Vibe Astrology.
Welcome, everyone, to call number two for Astrology for Deliberate Creators. We've got a super, I think, fun and powerful topic tonight, so very happy to be diving into this material. How are you today, Kim?
Very well. Super excited because today, not only are we doing this call and the sun is shining, but Jupiter is just at these moments, just in the next hour, about to move into the sign of Cancer, and this only happens once every 12 years, so everybody get ready for their Cancer house to light up like a Christmas tree for the next 12 months.
Ooh, I just got goosebumps.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Right on. Well, let's hear a quick hello from Julie's dialed in. Hello, Julie.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be here.
Thanks for being.
Beginning to see where my Cancer is.
Right on. And Janet dialed in as well. Hello, Janet.
Hello. Very excited to be here.
And do we have anyone else on the line who wants to say hi before we get started? All righty then. So, Kim,
Hey,
I loved
yeah.
your notes for today's call. You're so
organized. I know.
Organized.
So excited. When we were talking last week about where to take this and the whole idea of messages from the body and self-love was just, it really got me excited, mainly because I remember so powerfully that you saying that the most potent element of deliberate creation begins with self-love. And it's just something we can always come back to. And, of course, astrologically, it has some very powerful indicators, basically our moon, which shows us our natural approach to how we give and receive love and nurturing. And that means how we nurture ourselves or neglect to nurture ourselves.
Kim, that was already a big aha for me because I often looked to Venus for love. So when we started talking moon, it was really big insights for me already.
Well, this is really, I'm glad you brought that up because most people do think, oh, Venus, that's the goddess of love. And for all of you who took our Sex Secrets, What Your Astrology Can Tell You course, will know that, yes, she has a lot to do with sexual energy and attraction. But when it comes to nurturing, when it comes to how we give and receive that sustaining, loving, nurturing, and our primary connection to love, which is our very first relationship, which is with mother, regardless of what happens moments after you're born, your very first relationship is with mother, and that's the moon. So we go there first. That is our primal connection to love and nurturing. So that's where we're going today.
Right on. All right, so everyone, if you don't already have your charts in front of you, now would be a good time to do so. Do we have to do any housekeeping before we jump right in, Kim?
Let's just give a quick reminder that if you have any questions during the call, save them to the end when we ask for questions. If it's a burning question that because you're lost or misunderstanding something we're relating to, pop it into the chat. And then Jeanette or I, probably Jeanette because I get very sideways when I try to read the chat and talk at the same time. But Jeanette's good at that, so she'll read them in and make sure that we're all on the same page. So you're not going to get lost, but let's save the questions for the end.
All right.
Sounds like a good point. And anything that doesn't get covered in the talk, we'll keep the talk to 1 hour. If anything doesn't get covered, you're going to have to discuss it on the forum. And I wanted to mention, appreciate everyone who has explored their homework on the forum for the first call. I think it's not only helpful for you to do that, but everyone reading it gains insights too. So we want to kind of amp up the peer teaching. Feel free to jump in and comment on each other's approach. This is how we learn.
Right on.
Okay. So let's begin. Well, first thing we need to do, Jeanette, is get a really good base understanding of what self-love is and why it's important. So I might just pass a quick review of that. I know most of us are probably up to speed on this, but I know for one, I can never review this too much.
Oh, my gosh. I think that is so true for all of us that no matter where we're at with this particular subject, I think most of us have room for improvement. So I think this is worthy of our focus, no matter our experience level with it. But for those who may be new to the concept of self-love, let's just lay out some basics. What we're talking about here is how you treat yourself, how you feel about yourself, how you think about yourself. It's your level of self-appreciation or acknowledgement. You could maybe call it self-esteem, maybe even self-care certainly can be part of self-love. But really what we're talking about is how do you feel about yourself, and that is something that you express in both thought and action. So the reason that it matters is because how we feel about ourselves, that's a really powerful vibration, that how we are thinking and feeling, that's a state of being. So if I am feeling like I'm even trying to find the words for the concepts that I'm entertaining are escaping me, because I don't practice these thoughts very often. I practice the opposite thoughts about how fabulous and amazing and wonderful and worthy I am. But if I were having thoughts and feelings like that I wasn't enough, you know, that I wasn't smart enough, that I wasn't pretty enough, that I wasn't good enough, that I wasn't up to par with others' expectations, or there are all sorts of ways where we can sell ourselves short. Imagine what you're flowing vibrationally when you're engaging those thoughts. Like if you can feel the energy of someone who is not being good to themselves, you know, that vibration is not one that's going to attract good things, because like attracts like. So when I am minimizing myself or making myself wrong or blaming or feeling guilty or whatever, those negative vibrations are blocking many of the positive things that I'm calling forth in my life. And I might not even realize I'm doing that based on how I feel about myself. Kim's got a quote in the notes that says, "Universe can only be as good to you as you are to yourself." And again, that's because like attracts like. So if I want the world to be good to me, I need to know how to be good to myself, because they can only match, the world around me can only match whatever I'm flowing. So if I have habits of denying myself or putting myself on the back burner, making other people's desires and needs more important than my own, then I'm not lining myself up very well for receiving the good stuff that I've been wanting. I have to lead the way with proving myself worthy of receiving all that good stuff with how I think and feel and treat myself. Does that make sense? Did I say that very well?
Beautiful. That's awesome. That's our basis.
See? Look what I was just going to say. Well, it wasn't very articulate.
Oh,
but that's not a very loving thing to say. I could say, yeah, I rocked it.
Yeah, better. I say you rocked it. But this is a perfect example. These second thoughts or unconscious thoughts that come up. This is the moon. She is. She comes up with these little bits of doubt, and I think Scorpio can be very self-critical. And even though Libra side might be very fair and very quick to pivot to the positive, Scorpio wants to dig out the dark and think, where did that fall short? So good example, because we all have this part of, regardless of where our moon is and other planets that might link to these kind of gremlin thoughts or unconscious undermining thoughts, we can all become more aware, and that's the key, just to become more aware of how we are feeling about ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and how we can boost those thoughts, to pivot those thoughts onto, now I'm being inarticulate, boost and pivot away from those dark thoughts and amplify the more positive, which astrology can help us do. Here's
how.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think one way that we can boost those positive thoughts, too, of our own, is when we think about what we want someone else to say, what we wish our sweetie would say to us, or our boss would say to us, or our clients, or whoever we would when whatever we want from someone else, we can practice giving that to ourselves. Because if I don't know how to speak kindly to myself, I can't expect someone else to do that. Because they are reflecting.
You won't hear it.
It
won't register.
A lot of relationships have had that issue where someone is trying to compliment the other party, but the other party cannot hear it because they are not in vibrational alignment to it.
Exactly.
And it can drive someone crazy because they're pouring love on another person, and that person can't receive it because they don't know the frequency of love. And it starts with us, guys. Each and every time, it starts with us, and the world is just reflecting what we're flowing about ourselves. So this is an important one to get a handle on. And in the same way we can do it with what we would want someone else to say to us, to be able to say to ourselves, we can practice that in action as well. If I want someone else to be kind to me, I can check in. Am I being kind to myself in action? Like, I want my sweetie to do some nice things for me. Do I do nice things for myself? If I don't know how to do that, I don't know how I can expect him to, because he's only a mirror to what I'm flowing.
Exactly. That's a really good example.
I'm thinking if I've got any other resources. I don't actually have a lot of blog posts on this topic. I don't know. If anyone's got any questions about it, feel free to email me. I'd be happy to help you with this topic. It is a big one and one that I'm passionate about, so if anyone feels stuck with it, email me.
We might just start in the forum, in the Astrology for Deliberate Creators forum. Why don't we start a self-love topic, and we can bounce around ideas and support
Yeah, I will happily share some of my practices, ones I've used in the past and what I'm using right now to help amp that up, because I think that's a powerful way for us to practice it, to get ideas from others and get company from others, know that we're doing it together. I think that helps add some powerful energy to the practice.
Exactly. And it's the reminder to get, it helps us get in the practice of it. It takes, Deepak Chopra says it takes 21 days to create a habit. And I mean, there's various ideas about that, but I do know that it takes repetition mm-hmm. to create a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And practicing this and supporting each other can remind us to do something kind to us ourselves every day, to find some new way to show love. And it doesn't have to cost anything. It's not like I have to buy, even if I've got Moon in Capricorn, it doesn't mean I have to buy myself something to show love.
Right.
There are other tangible ways that I can show it. So the really cool thing that we can do with astrology is to start by looking at the moon and get a feeling for what this primary need and desire is, and style or way that we give and receive love and nurturing. Now, everyone knows, we have very different levels of astrological expertise in this group. So if this is just, this might seem very basic to some of you, and if it does, please help the others. Take your knowledge and turn around and help people that are just learning. That'll be wonderful. But in your notes that I emailed you all this morning, hopefully you have them all, I've given you the glyph of the moon. That is the symbol that indicates the moon. And hopefully you will all now be looking at your charts and find that symbol in your chart and work out what sign and what house your moon is in. So there's also a link in your notes to where you can learn, a very short tutorial, where you can learn to draw the glyphs. Also in, I think it's in Playground on the forum, Janet has made us a wonderful test your skills quiz on how well you know the glyphs, and that's a fun way to learn too. So please make use of the resources that we have at GDA, because they're going to support your learning here. Now, the moon. We're going to look at where the moon is in what sign first.
Kim?
Yes?
Can I interrupt you?
You may.
I just got to say how much I love you. I just want to tell you how much I love you. I just love learning this with you. You are so amazing. You are so crazy cool.
Oh, I'm blushing. Thank you.
I'm trying to keep it to myself, but it was a
no,
overwhelming.
No, sure. I have Moon in Aquarius. You can tell the world. I'd certainly tell the group. Okay. What sign your moon is in tells you something about what the moon recognizes as love and nurturing and how you want to give and receive this love and nurturing. In your notes is a very quick chart. I'll just run through it real fast so you can get an idea. Realize that whole books could be written on each, or at least whole chapters, on each one of these. I'm only giving you keywords to get you started. Okay, so Aries says, if you love me, take me on an adventure. Make it action, energy, and competition. Aries loves the challenge. If you say, catch me, or I'll bet you I'll get there first, you're going to really excite that Aries in you. Don't be afraid to make it a competition. Taurus says, if you love me, show me with touch and taste and sensation and indulgence and quite possibly sex. Just make it yummy and make it real. Gemini says, of course, if you love me, talk to me. Or teach me something, or show me where I can teach you, or show me what I can learn next. Cancer says, if you love me, share your feelings with me. And it's not just the good feelings. Cancer wants to feel the bad stuff, too, the dark and painful things. People with Cancer Moon, they don't necessarily really trust you until you share something that hurt you in the past. I know that doesn't sound super LOA, but it's not to perpetuate the pain, but to share this sense of vulnerability. And there's something like there's power in that sharing of emotions, and it means you connect in ways that you never would if you don't share that deeper stuff. Leo says, if you love me, play with me. Make it fun. Make it creative. Definitely appreciate my playfulness and my creativity. Virgo says, if you love me, do things for me. They don't care so much about the words or the actions in terms of, you know, let's get out and play frisbee or go for a walk. It's like, do these little intricate detail things, like remember that music that I like, or that favorite meal, or that cup of tea that I love at that exact time of day. Show me that you know the details of who I am. Also, declutter for me, or let me declutter you. And that can be emotionally or intellectually or physically. Libra says, if you love me, relate. Relate, relate, relate. Talk, share experiences. Let's do it together. Scorpio says, if you love me, merge your energy with me. And again, like the water sign of Cancer, Scorpio says, I'm not afraid to take risk and go into the dark places. As a matter of fact, when we do that, we're getting real. And this is where the power is. Sagittarius says, if you love me, give me space, for starters. Let me be carefree. But let's go, again, like Aries, on an adventure. Let's explore. Let's be dynamic. Capricorn says, if you love me, buy me things. Be constructive. Show me the plan. And whatever we do, pull it together. Make it real. Aquarius says, if you love me, surprise me. Respect my thoughts and space. Again, Aquarius needs a lot of space. But there is that Uranian element of show me something original. Pisces says, if you love me, dissolve with me. Fall into the compassion and oneness of all life. Show me the dreams. Show me the mystery. Let's go behind the veil. Okay, so you get this feeling that the fire signs are all about action. The earth signs are about sensation. The air signs are about thoughts and communication, and the water signs are about feeling, whether those are joyful or painful, whatever the emotional scale is on that, or the sensation scale on the feelings. Okay, so moon in those signs are going to give whatever sign your moon is in, and you can play with this by looking at, I saw that you guys were talking about the decans and the dwads on the in the chat. You can dial this into a more even more subtle level of understanding by going there. And there's links in the Temple Library to an article on how to find those decans and wads and more about that. We can discuss that on the forum. But you can get, you can refine this and get a very clear picture about what your moon needs, wants, and has to offer in terms of nurturing love. And that's your number one on the homework, is to identify those emotional needs and nurturing self-love needs of the moon. And then maybe take it a little further and ask yourself if you are giving it to yourself. Are you bringing this into your life and soliciting this from others by giving it first to yourself? Okay, hopefully that makes sense to everyone. Jeanette, there's
it
nothing...
It makes sense. It does. Could we have an example, Kim? In fact, we have two Cappy moons in the chat room, I believe. Could we use Capricorn as an example?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Capricorn's a great example because let's say Capricorn moon was raised by a very air sign dominant family. This is just an example, obviously. And let's say that from that family they learned that what they received in terms of nurturing was a lot of talk, a lot of communication. They might have heard the words, "I love you," a lot, every night before bed, "I love you, darling." And they can end up feeling not loved, not nurtured, because the words don't matter to the moon. That's not what's important. What's important is the tangible expression. That means what does the mother show? How does she show her love? How do you show your love to yourself? Like, this is not the person who can do that self-love exercise where you look in the mirror and say, "I love you." They need to look in the mirror and maybe give themselves a facial.
Massage, right, or buy it a nice lotion for the exercise in the morning.
Something that they can smell and touch and feel nurtured by. Or they might put on, maybe they've got their favorite sweater that they, their auntie knitted for them, and it's actually amazing, and they wear it. And they can go put it on and look in the mirror and feel this deep appreciation of, or maybe they made it for them, something they made for themselves, this deep appreciation for this gift. It's tangible, it's real, they can touch it. They might appreciate the plans they have to reach their goals and aims and objectives. That might sound very dry, but it's incredibly nurturing for Capricorn. You got to have a goal and a plan. That's love. That's
all
love,
right, like
way
it.
More than saying, "I love you." "I love you" is just this abstract. It doesn't mean they don't love and can't say the words, but what's meaningful is going to be something a lot more tangible. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you for that. This is really helping make it more concrete for me. So, for example, me as a Scorpio moon, if I were going to practice self-love, if I were to harness my moon energy, what I might want to do is I was thinking about doing some journaling just for my own feelings, just to get to know myself, just to have some quality time with me and what I'm feeling. Would that kind of be in alignment with what Scorpio would do well with?
Very much so. And remember the occult association with Scorpio. You might study astrology. You might play with tarot cards. You might...
Oh, sure.
Really nurturing, because it's a communion with yourself. Like, you do a reading for yourself. You're tuning into your unconscious. You're looking at these ancient esoteric symbols, depending on what deck you use. But, if you use one of the older decks, you're playing with the depths. And also psychology. Scorpio is very interested in deep, meaningful, and transformational psychology. And it wants to research and go deep into these areas.
Wow. Okay, cool. So even any like self-development or personal growth work could be satisfying
as well. Personal growth work, awesome for Scorpio. As well as, Jeanette, I'm going to have to hang up and dial back in on the other phone.
Cause okay, okay.
Back.
Sure.
But I'll just finish this sentence. Sorry. God. Which, if I can remember what the sentence was, Scorpio. Oh, okay. So Scorpio is very interested in taking risks. So really taking risks with how deep you go with your own self work and that self-inventory and in a totally loving and supportive way. But really being a spiritual warrior when it comes to exploring your own depths and also intimacy. Scorpio shines. What really nurtures is true intimacy. We talked about it before, that erotic intimacy, not necessarily sexual, but one where two or more people come together in such a way that there's lasting transformation. And that can be through your work with clients. It can be through a sexual partner. It can be through a friend with a joint creative project. There's lots of ways to do it.
All right, I'm going to check in with Julie while you're dialing
okay,
in.
Okay, you do that, and I'm going to dial back in. And just, I'll be right back.
All right. Julie, what's your moon sign?
My moon sign's in Libra, in the
Libra.
Seventh house. And it's kind of interesting because in Libra it says, if you love me, relate to me, share experiences in a social, enjoyable way. And the seventh house is shared experiences with one-to-one socially significant others. So it seems like there's...
Yeah, you're getting a very... Yeah,
kind of
so,
a parallel between the Libra and the seventh house.
So if you were to practice self-love with that, that's interesting to me. How would we practice self-love when we're looking at like, the social aspect of, maybe that's it. Oh, duh, that makes total sense. Like the way that I show my self-love is I let myself go out and get sociable, like, you know, make a date with girlfriends or go see movies with them, whoever. I mean, maybe it's that's one way to practice it is by getting out with others.
Does it need to be physical connection? I mean, I'm thinking too that online connection with, because we've all got really good friends that we've made that we've never met in the flesh, and this is a new. I mean, this is a new thing, really. I guess we had pen pals in the past, but it's more immediate now, and I think that sense of intimacy because.
I would think that
a really powerful thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. Let me ring Kim back in on this. So, Kim, the way that we're practicing self-love doesn't obviously have to be exclusively limited to the expression of our moon. I mean, we could incorporate a lot of other aspects to it as well, right?
I think that's a good point. You can look at every planet in the chart and see its placement and its sign as a signature for how you can be more authentic, and that means boosting self-love. But
yeah.
Good point. Authenticity is part of self-love.
Yeah,
good point.
Important.
Yeah, of course.
But we are often raised in ways that don't necessarily match our moon. We have learned maybe to ignore the true needs of the moon. If you've got moon in Libra in the seventh house, eating and running might serve your Mars and other aspects. I'm not looking at your chart, but it's great for something else. It's not speaking to your moon. And this is the place, today in particular, we want to talk about speaking directly to your moon. You got to share it. You got to do something with someone else. Libra is where you learn more about who you are by being with someone else.
Okay.
It's about sharing.
Is that not even exaggerated with my moon and Libra being in the seventh house?
Well,
that's what I mean.
Let's let Kim do houses next,
yes,
and that'll probably answer.
Okay.
This will make it clear. Because it's not, obviously it's not one thing, and I think you've all brought up a very good point that every planet in the chart can tell us something about self-love, but often moon is neglected, and I think we can, at a core level, a lot of us grow up feeling like we aren't really seen in the way that we want to be nurtured. And as a child, when we aren't getting what we want, we don't just hold that in a beautiful, prized place and say, you know, I'm going to learn how to do that for myself. We bury it. We stop asking for it or needing it because it's too painful to not have it met by the ones that we love. So when we talk about the moon, we're often talking about buried needs that we don't access normally. So if you're not looking at your astrology and someone's teaching you about self-love and you start to practice it, you often are going to miss the lunar needs. You're going to miss the needs of the moon, just as chances are you have all your life. So because to go to the moon means you touch on feelings, and a lot of us are not fully comfortable with it. It's out of control. It's not. It feels like it's not where we're on top of things. It's not how we've learned. We buried this for a reason. The 2-year-old in us created a defense, but now that we're adults, we can pull down those barriers, and we can bring the moon, which then becomes the inner child, out and give her some love, some powerful self-love in the way that she wants and really responds to. Okay, so we've got the sign, and I want you to, your first homework is to explore the sign of your moon and what it really wants. Don't think about what your Mars wants or what Mercury gets off on and all that. Just look at the moon. Let's honor her for a start and get the basic need of nurturing. The house placement, and again, in your notes, is a very quick rundown of the house placements. And again, whole chapters written on the houses and their deeper meaning. So when I give you 3 or 4 key words, we're just scratching the surface, but it gives you a chance to get a better idea. So if you've got moon in Libra in the third house, then you want to where you want to share is learning, and you want to share your ideas and thoughts and perspectives. If it's in the fifth house, then you want to have someone that you can play with and someone that you can maybe do a co-creative project with. If it's in the seventh house, as we said, it's going to be basically sharing a personal one-to-one commitment, whether that's a friendship or a business partnership or an intimate relationship. But seventh house requires the commitment to really generate what's needed there. Okay, so moon in the sixth house, it's the daily rituals and pets and magic and the work that we cherish in a daily way that becomes the nurturing and the comforting and the area that we can go to. For example, I rely on my moon in the sixth house as a comfort. When I'm stressed, automatically I start cleaning. Now, I know that sounds weird, like a really weird sense of self-love, and most people would think, you know, she's doing the windows. That is not self-love. Well, for moon in the sixth house, it is, because I am engaging in a ritual kind of cleansing, decluttering. I might go pet the cat or groom the cat or do something, go up to the rooftop garden. I'm going to do something very sixth house, and that feels like love to me. And while I'm doing it, while I'm engaging in it, I am expiating whatever stress. The stress is releasing because I'm comforting myself and loving myself on a very core level. So where my Mercury and Sun in Gemini might think, if you're stressed, talk it out, write it down, write a response, deal with it in that way, that's something for later. My first go-to place is going to be my moon in whatever sign it's in the house it's in. So I want you all, the second component of your homework is to identify the house that your moon is in and list out some ways that you may develop some self-nurturing based on your moon sign and house. So if there are any questions and things that you want to explore, obviously we'll go deeper with this on the forum, but I also want to, Jeanette and I want to bring in the idea of the body scan and messages from the body. In astrology, the body is very powerfully related to the moon. And again, We're not talking about these articulate messages that come in little neat memos that appear on our consciousness screen. They're often difficult to decipher if we don't really understand. And Jeanette, maybe you can talk to us a little bit about the body and the body scan and how we do that, because I got the whole idea of body scan from you. And I just thought, oh my God, this is the next step, of course, is to relate it to the physicality of the signs.
The call I was just on, I was talking about how our body is our partner in ways that most of us weren't raised to appreciate or to leverage. Many of us, the relationship we have with our bodies is that we're trying to master them. You know, we're trying to get them to conform to what we want, when the truth is our bodies are our best partner in going through this life. And when we can create an avenue of communication, when we can better hear each other, what our body's saying to us, and then I think we experience less frustrations when it seems like it's not doing what we want it to do. But it is always our friend, even when it's delivering things that might not feel so pleasant. And being willing to see it that way and to be open to the gifts that it delivers offers a much smoother journey through life, because it really is, it's our friend, and it's in support of all of our highest dreams, even though it seems like it might be thwarting them sometimes. So the body scan is one of the awareness techniques I ask deliberate creators to embrace as a way of becoming more conscious of what our energy is, what we're flowing vibrationally. And just by tuning into what we're sensing in the body, we can accomplish that, because sometimes we'll either get so used to something, or we're so in our heads that we don't notice, you know, the little things that our body might be saying to us, like a little tension in the neck or a little nervousness in the stomach. Sometimes we're so disconnected from our bodies that we aren't getting any of these signals. And yet it can be a really powerful way to wake us up to what we're flowing vibrationally. So just by taking a couple of quiet minutes to literally get quiet, close your eyes, and tune into what you're feeling in your body, you know, what the sensations are or the energies that are flowing, just to become aware of, not to get rid of, not to judge, or even analyze. I can feel myself wanting to do that really fast, like, oh, what does that mean if I have this? But just to create open lines of communication with it, and in that sense, we create a better experience of life. So the scanning process is just a pretty simple one, where you either start at the top of the body with the head and go down and just check in with, okay, how is my head feeling? How are my eyes? Anything in my teeth? Anything in my jaw? Anything in my throat? Sometimes we feel some restriction or constriction in the throat. And then just keep going down. Okay, the shoulders and the chest area and stomach. Or some people start at the bottom and go to the top. But literally just tuning into each individual area to notice what's there.
Fantastic. I also want to say that in our culture, when we have a message in the body, initially we're taught to mask it, to repress it, or to treat it as something that is wrong that has to be fixed. Just watch the commercials on TV, and how much is there to basically block, stop, repress, and deny messages from the body. So this is new material. When we go and scan the body without judgment and just in open lines of communication, most of us have not been taught to do this. So recognize that you're heading into new territory when you do this, and it's going to very much excite the body, your partner in life, because can you imagine speaking to someone every day for, well, in my case, decade after decade after decade, and they never acknowledge you?
Or if when you are acknowledged, it's not with positive energy, it's with frustration,
no, it's like,
or anger.
Exactly.
Or,
damn, how do I fix this?
What are you
take
doing?
A pill.
Not now. Yeah.
So realize that the body may at times shout at you. And if it's shouting, it's because the subtler message didn't get through. So, so relax and tune in. And also know that from our most ancient astrology, the signs have always been associated with parts of the body. And starting with the head, I would always start the scan with the head just to, because that is Aries and it ends up with feet, with Pisces. And I think even though the signs aren't linear, they're circular, you could start in the middle and go around. But do think of it in terms of going from Aries to Pisces, whichever way you start. But in your notes is a little and very brief, again, whole chapters can be written on each of these topics, but an insight into what area each sign represents and how that may relate to the message that you're getting. I always like to give the example of the headache because it's probably the most common. There's probably no one here that doesn't know what a headache feels like, and there's probably no one here that didn't get a headache and then take something to stop the headache. and I think it's big business in pharmaceuticals, the headache tablet. So in astrological terms and through the exercise of the body scan, if we have a headache, we know right away, as soon as we look at our little chart, that the head is, that Aries rules the head. Okay, and so it's an Aries thing. That the message is, it's wrapped around an Aries motif. And the number one thing that Aries is asking is, am I the boss? Am I the boss? Headache is your body saying somewhere in your life, you are not the boss and you're not very happy about it. And everyone can go look at their charts and find where Aries rules in their chart. And wherever that is, oh, my God, that is where you really need to be the boss. That is the place where nobody but you calls the shots. And if you look at that and find that you aren't, let's say you've got Aries on the midheaven, the 10th house, which rules your career, mission, profession, and you have a boss that tells you what to do, that's headache material. And your way, you don't take it, well, you may take something to alleviate the headache and take some action, Aries, to set up new goals around how you can be your own boss. People with Aries on the midheaven, or Scorpio for that matter, which is also linked to Mars, they really need to be self-employed. And when I say need, I mean it's authentic. It's absolutely authentic. Or if they work for a big corporation, they have to be on top.
or to have a boss who is super hands-off and trusted them to get their job done. Could that work too?
It could help. As long as they have the feeling of independence, self-direction, self-will, what they say goes.
Man, I remember so much changed for me. I never knew that, Kim, about myself, but I've got Scorpio on the midheaven. And the day that our boss allowed us flexible hours was the day I liked my job a lot more.
Yeah, and it wasn't really about whether you could sleep in or take whatever.
Right, so I got to pick. Yeah.
Yes, you got to pick. That's all that mattered. And you might have picked the exact same routine that you were on before. Doesn't matter. You had the choice. Yep. So the idea, the third component of your homework, I hope I wrote this down in those three. Not quite. Yes, I did. I just combined one and two with one. The third component of your homework is to do a total body scan, as we've described. If you find any little niggles or messages, or can even recall, if you're absolutely perfectly in alignment and in utter peace with your body, you can tune into something that maybe was in the past. Don't tune in too much because we don't really want to bring it back, but to give you a handle on how to explore this. And look at what part of the body it is, what sign it relates to. Tune into that meaning and go find that place in your chart. And again, on the forum, we're going to have a body scan section where we can all discuss this and help each other if there's any question about where that is in your chart or where what that means for you. But creating this pathway of communication with your body is a magnificent, magnificent deliberate creator tool because it gets you into alignment with your authenticity. It shows you where in your life you're tolerating something, and we'll go into this. That might even be the next topic next week on tolerations, because that's just huge.
Ooh, that would be good.
Yeah,
good,
let's do that, because that follows perfectly. Where you're tolerating something, which is a huge energy drain, and it's tricky to create the world of your dreams when you're dragging along this baggage. So the body scan can help you get into alignment and release these things that have been hampering you. Does that make sense? We can take let's take questions now if we have.
Janet had one about skin, wasn't on the chart.
Okay, good. Yes, yes. And there was another one when you mentioned teeth. I forgot to put teeth goes with Capricorn, not Aries, even though it's in the head. Capricorn rules the I'm just making a note here to add this to, or you can jot down. But anyway, Capricorn teeth. Skin also is Capricorn, Saturn. Is in charge of skin because it creates the boundary between your body and the world. So, yeah, sorry that's not in there. So I obviously was negligent with my Capricorn list. So the bones, knees, skin, teeth. Sorry for the remiss there.
Well, I've got a question about... Okay, so I would expect... throat, voice, and expression for the question to be, what am I not saying or what am I not communicating? But that's listed under Gemini. And Gemini, lungs, shoulders, arms, and hands.
Yeah, it is, because I think there's probably overlap in there, but usually anything in the throat, think of being, don't think about this too hard, but it's like being strangled. So it's not even so much what's you're not saying. With Gemini, you're just not saying it. But with Taurus, it feels like it's being, you're choked. It's a chokehold.
Wow.
A pain in the neck, and I didn't really, it's a chokehold.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Thank you for elaborating on that.
Yeah, it's something very physical. Remember, the earth signs are a physical thing. Well, this is all physical because it's the body, but... really think of that. It feels like external blocking, choking, pain in the neck.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. I know Julie had a question for us, before Julie asks her question, does anyone else have one on the body scan information? Let me double-check chat room to see if I've got anything there. No, I think we're good.
If anyone has any difficulty working out what sign rules a house cusp, there's a couple tutorials that will help you with that in the video portal, but please just immediately post in the forum a shout out and just say, how the heck do I find this, and let's get clear on that. Otherwise, it can just feel daunting when it's really just going to be a matter of looking and finding, knowing what you're looking for. It's like reading a map. So if this part of the map is hard for you to read, there's plenty of us here that can guide you. So shout out. Don't be lost in it.
Julie, what was your question from earlier?
It related to my Libra moon and... just what it needs. It was interesting, talking to you for a minute before Kim got back on the phone, and then her kind of talking about, me using things like eating or walking or something like that didn't really feed my moon.
Eating and going on walks, do it with someone. Then you're nurturing your moon. Do anything alone, it's not nurturing. And the hugs don't contain the words. So even though you were given love, your moon wasn't feeling it as much as if you were in conversation or somebody wanted to talk about with you about something that was happening. Communication being very important.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a very good point, and thank you for giving us an example of that, because it just brings home how there can be these differences. Just for another example, think about someone with the moon in Libra is relating to someone with moon in Capricorn. The moon in Capricorn person is showing love by buying them things, by giving them massages, by doing...
Making,
you know,
budgets.
Taking, yes. Look at the new budget, darling. No, seriously.
Our whole future planned out.
Yes.
Isn't it great?
Yes, an Earth sign partner. They're an earthy moon. They are going to be so excited to show you that they got your taxes done without you even asking. Like that. And what you're doing is you're telling them things like, oh, you know, you watch the movie with them, and then you want to talk about it afterwards. And, oh, do you think they, you know, were motivated by blah, blah, or whatever? And, you know, at the end of the day, you're giving them the words, I love you. They're not feeling it because you're not buying them things and getting excited about the taxes. And you're not feeling it because they're not giving you the words. And it doesn't mean these two people aren't loving each other. What it means is on the moon level, on a lunar level, there is not the easy connect. And if relationship counselors knew that, they could look at people's charts and say, hey, open your mind to how you experience love and see if you can't express. They could help each other in the partnership give and receive on the same frequency as the moon.
Yeah. And, Kim, that's a perfect segue into our extra credit, isn't it?
Yes. Let's look at that because, yeah, we're back at the top of the hour. Okay, the extra credit. Okay, the extra credit, yes. What I would like for you out there who have a handle on this, expand and explore. Get at least four other people. These might be clients' charts with their permission, hopefully. Family members may or may not need permission. Friends. Take celebrities if you want. And we've always got somebody going on in the hands-on department if you want to look there. And discuss how you might support them in amping up their self-love. And what you're going to do is look at where their moon is, what sign it's in, and what house it's in, and give them some ideas about how they might be more nurturing, how they may give and receive nurturing in a more authentic way to their moon. So you can put these ideas to practice. What we found last week, Julie, you were super helpful with this, is that sometimes when it's hard to see something in our own charts for ourselves, and believe me, this is always, it pops up from time to time, because self-reflection can be difficult, or it's easy for us to kind of pivot away from something that has to do with us. It's easier to get a handle on a technique astrologically when you apply it to someone else first. So if you need extra credit, if you're looking to expand your abilities here, start collecting charts of other people and doing these exercises through their charts and get an idea of what you would offer them. Can you add anything to that, Jeanette?
Well, I got to say, I love the discussion you shared earlier around how we might not even realize, because we've so neglected our moons that that we just don't even spot it. That may very well be the case for the ones that we love as well, that it may not be something that they're awake to. So
exactly.
This would be a really interesting experiment.
I think so, and I think what you'll find as you work with other people in their charts, or as you start to understand other people in their charts more, we will all start to notice that people are very sensitive around their moon signs, and it's often an area where there's a certain amount of denial. Now, this might just be my limiting belief, and it's certainly not the case with everyone, but there are times, particularly if the moon is at a difficult, that's not the word I want to use, contrasting, a contrasting aspect or angle to a primary planet, like maybe it's the sun, or maybe it's in a house that's not super accessible. You'll find that people tend to ignore it. She gets buried. And any aspect of the chart, any aspect of the psyche that is repressed, resisted, what happens? It's going to well up and not have very good table manners. It's going to well up and have it's going to pop up in the other person and be incredibly irritating. So it's vital for our deliberate creation skills to make friends with the body, make friends with the moon, and start to honor the love and nurturing that part of ourselves has been desiring since birth.
I'm also looking at extra credit in diagnosing symptoms of my loved ones.
Yes, now you can do that. And also, and realize that when we look at the body and when we talk about physicality and so forth, it's really when you're working with other people. And, you know, you guys may not be using this with other people yet, but if you use your astrology, and hopefully everyone at GVU is eventually going to use this in their practice, whether it's with their LOA clients or with their astrology clients, whenever you tap into things that touch on physicality, at least three times in the discussion, whether it's written or spoken, you let them know that you're not a doctor, unless you are one, and that we are looking through the map and that it's up to them to be responsible for their own well-being, which means consulting with whatever healthcare professional resonates with them. Say it in a better way. Said that in a very stumbly. I have some sort of way of saying it that comes out hopefully better than that. But you get the idea. Realize that when you start talking about someone's body, I mean, the whole idea of astrology is to give control back to the person or take it back yourself. But in our society, when it comes to medicine and anything that hints on practicing medicine, just make sure you cover yourself
gotcha.
In that way and remind people to take responsibility for their own well-being. And I always remind them to check in with their health care professional. That's just, something to keep in mind further down the track. All righty. Well, top of the hour. That was fabulous, guys. And we will continue this on the forum. I'm going to... probably Jeanette and I will both go over there. Jeanette, you're going to do the self-love thread, and I'll pop one up for... Oh, I'll think of it.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Keep going. Mercury, can I leave us all with Mercury goes... When does Mercury go retrograde? It's in the next how many hours? I just want to wish you all a very happy Jupiter into Cancer and a happy Mercury retrograde in Cancer. And if anybody wants to tune in to... how to prep for that, we have a free call recording on the front page of GVA if you haven't listened to it yet. Tune in there and get some hints and tips for this wonderful next 3 weeks of Mercury retrograde.
Wonderful. Well, thanks everyone for joining us today, and we'll
see
you in the forum.
Thank you so much. Another wonderful call. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
Bye, Janet.
Bye.